Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
I see a church where the vision and the mission are clear, consistent, contagious, and progressive. I see a church that is Bible-based, Christ-centered, kingdom-minded, making disciples, and Holy Spirit empowered. A church that loves God by loving people and serves God by serving people. I see a church that is generously living and giving and is built on the sacrifices of many and not just a few. A church that counts the cost, pays the price, and preaches its best messages through what we do and not just by what we say. I see a church that becomes a growing spiritual family, a church where transformation not only comes to their generation, but positively alters the course of the generations to come.
And so there must be a change in your life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The child of God, a change has taken place. Oh, give your life to Jesus Christ. And let him live in you and be a shining witness for Christ. Become salt in your community. Become a light in your community. Let the people know where you stand for Christ. The Bible teaches that the church is like a vine with its many branches. It's like living stones built together, members of the body of Christ all knit together.
Well, good morning and welcome again to Gateway Life Church. It is our great honor and blessing to have you here today. We're launching a new series entitled My Heart, My House. And, you know, out of all the great series that we've done throughout the years, I have to admit that I've never been more expectant and more excited about a series than I am about this one. I actually really believe that we will look back in the years to come, we will look back at this time and say, surely that was a very significant time in the life of our church. I believe that in the future we'll look back on this time and say, surely that was a time when things really began to move forward. And so we have so much to communicate to you today. We have so much to communicate throughout the month of June. We have a special announcement to make towards the end of my message today. And we also have another announcement to make over the next 1 to 2 weeks, which has everything to do with your own personal faith journey and development. You know, as a church, we exist to equip, encourage, and empower the generations, from the youngest to the oldest. It's the reason why right now Sharon Kotzer, along with her team, are upstairs in Children's Church teaching our children, your children, about the supernatural. And so we're just so excited and so expectant. Someone asked me, they said, how are you going? And I said, I feel so amped. I feel so lit right now, I feel like I could light up a small town. That's still much funnier in my own head than anyone else's. It just came to me. How are you going? I'm so amped I could light up a small country town. Yeah, it's still, every time I say it, it's just funny. Yeah. My heart, my house. What's it all about? I wonder what sort of thoughts, what sort of feelings, what sort of memories arise within you when you hear the statement, my heart, my house? Well, it's all about each one of us taking personal responsibility, number one, for our own hearts before God and for the house of God that God has called us to and planted us in. You do know, don't you, that Jesus said, I believe it's in John chapter 15, he said, you did not choose me. I chose you, Laurie. You didn't come up with that whole idea to follow Jesus just yourself. It wasn't your idea, Tim Hawkins. It was God's idea. God chose you. He said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and I anointed and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. But you see, when Jesus talks about us being fruitful, in order to be fruitful, you've got to be planted somewhere in order to allow your roots to go down so that you can produce fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Is this not true? As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. And so, Jesus didn't only choose us, he also chooses for us the church that we are to plant ourselves in. I remember years ago, I purchased a silver birch tree. Is that such a thing? A silver birch. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was a birch or perch. I wasn't sure. I'm not that good with my botanical names, Tim Hicks. It was a silver birch. Yeah, had to think about it again, actually. And what I actually did, I planted both trees the same day in the same environment from about probably 2 meters from one another. And then as time went on, it was probably about 3 months later, I thought to myself, I don't like where I've planted the second tree. So I'm going to uproot it and relocate it in the same yard, in the same environment, the same weather conditions. But guess what happened? Because I uprooted one tree, left the other tree where it was, but uprooted one, relocated it, and replanted it, what do you think happened? The tree that was planted originally grew so much stronger and so much taller than the one that I had replanted, uprooted and replanted. And so it is with you and I. Because the Bible says, I believe it's Psalm, look, I'm just, this is all just coming to me right now. Let's see, the Psalm 92, Psalm 93, Psalm 94. I don't know. Start at Genesis. You'll get there eventually. It said, they who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God wants you to flourish and not just survive. And there are people here, and sometimes we feel like we're just surviving. It's like life is full of transactions. Tick this transaction, cross that transaction off. What about the purposes of God, which is transformation? God doesn't want us to just live a life full of transactions. That's not God's life for you. We could do that by ourselves without God. No, God wants us to encounter one transformation after the next transformation after the next. But that's why we've got to be planted in the house of God. I so thank God for this series, My Heart, My House. What's it all about? It also has to do about ownership. When it comes to owning the vision, the mission, owning the people, owning the call that is on this house, owning it. Now, all of us here live in a natural house. And if you're not living in a natural house, if you are living on the street somewhere, please let us know and we'll see what we can do for you. But we all take care of our natural house. Amen. We do what we can to make it presentable, to reflect our own tastes, our own styles, our own creativity. Well, just as everyone has a natural house, God also calls each one to a spiritual house. It's the reason why we're looking at this series, My Heart, My House. I am aware, however, that owning it, owning the vision of this church, the mission, and everything else connected to it, I am aware that owning it doesn't just happen. Owning it is actually the result of a divine awakening and an issue of faith in the heart. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And yet, we don't need a lot of faith. We just need a mustard seed of faith. And I believe somebody hearing that right now is being liberated in their soul. Sometimes we compare our faith to the faith of another, perhaps someone that we admire. But God's not wanting you to compare your faith. Be inspired and blessed and built up by someone else's faith. But don't compare your faith to the faith of another. You don't need big faith. You don't need perfect faith. You don't even need fearless or doubtless faith. You just need faith as small as a mustard seed And Jesus said, you can say to a mountain, uproot yourself and throw yourself in the deepest part of the sea, and it'll do it for you. But owning it is not an automatic thing. But people do own it. They do own the vision and the mission of this house because of a revelation of Jesus Christ. People own it because of a clear vision, mission, and purpose. People own it because they see an opportunity to positively alter the course of the generations to come. People own it because of theology. They have a sense of biblical knowledge, and they believe that we are to plant ourselves in the house of God. And so they own the vision because of biblical knowledge. They don't just listen or hear what the Word of God says, but they do what the Word of God says. People own the vision and the mission because they're generous with their time, with their talent, and with their treasure. People also own it in proportion to their faith and their capacity, because we all have different levels of faith and different carrying capacities. Is this not true? But at the end of the day, and there's no doubt about it, according to Scripture, every single person who calls Gateway Life Church their spiritual house, their home, ought to own it on some level and in some way. You know, the My Heart, My House series actually has more to do with the spiritual house of God. This series has more to do with the spiritual house of God more than it does about your natural house. So that's the focus. You know, when my wife and I, when we planted this church back in October 28, 2001, most of you have heard the story, our daughters, Anna and Holly, Anna was 5 and Holly was 2. When we planted the church, we had a vision in our heart and faith to bring the vision to pass, and away we grow. And you know what? My wife and I did not only determine to create and to build a spiritual house that our community could attend and flourish, but we especially wanted to build a house that our daughters would not only flourish, but also just, you know, where they grow up in the things of God, loving the house of God. That was actually the most important thing to us, that they would grow up learning about the full counsel and the full gospel of Jesus Christ, having a personal revelation that Jesus really is their Lord and Savior, and not just because mum and dad said so. And if you're a parent with young children, there's going to come a day where your children will move from inherited faith, which is what you've deposited upon them, to personal faith, where they have their own revelation of their own sin, of their own brokenness. See, we knew that there'd come a day when Anna and Holly would come into a revelation of their own sin, where they don't want to do the things that they do but find themselves doing. We knew that they would come into their own revelation, but then to point them toward the Savior. And we thank God today that, you know, Anna has married very well, and married Jess's brother, Dan, Rick and Fee, Rick and Fiona Leeworthy, who will be listening to this. They're away this weekend. God bless them so much. And so, you know, Anna chose well, a godly man, and they're both serving, you know, in a local church in Melbourne. It's interesting, you know, when children move, it's a good opportunity not to go to church, because they're no longer under the, if you like, the watchful eye and covering of their parents. But they found a church, they went looking around, had a good experience, and now they've planted themselves in a local church. And of course, Holly is in Melbourne doing Bible college with Planet Shakers. And so we're so thankful that they have their own revelation and they love Jesus. Before we move on today, I just want to give you just a praise report. Do you like praise reports? Reports of the great things that God has done. Well, to give you a praise report today, I'm going to invite Alyssa Grundy to come to the platform. And let's welcome her as she comes. Yeah. So we want to give you a praise report about what happened at youth on Friday night, just gone. And, you know, I just got to say, like a part of the testimony, before Alyssa shares her part, it was just a crazy lead up to youth on Friday night. We had more than half of our youth away because they were sick. We had team members calling in because they were sick. Deb and I are going back and forth with, you know, what's next and what are we going to do because, you know, so-and-so can't be there. But we had the most awesome night. Now, on Wednesday night just gone, we were walking out and I sort of crossed paths with Alyssa. Now, I had been thinking about inviting Alyssa to come and share her story. I didn't even really know what story she was going to share, but the Holy Spirit had moved my heart. And like, so this is like two nights out. And I said, Alyssa, I can see that God is doing greater and mightier things in your life. Is that true?
Yes.
Amen. And so I said, look, I actually believe that you should come on Friday night, share your testimony about what God has done to the youth. I said, what do you think? And what did you say?
I said, sure.
Yeah. But apart from saying yes, sure, you said to me that you'd been thinking about, you know, just giving an altar call at some stage, but you weren't sure how that was going to happen.
Yeah, pretty much that had been something that was kind of on my heart. And I was like, don't know how that's going to work. We'll see what God does. And he made a way.
He did. He made a way. And he's made another way here for you today because of how good Friday night was. It's awesome. So we got you to share your testimony and then you sang a song.
Yes.
God moved. God moved. And so much so that while she was singing the song that she was listening to when she rededicated her life back to God. So she sang the song that she, when she rededicated her life to God, and everyone in the auditorium came forward for prayer due to the message that she had given. And how did you feel about all of that?
Pretty overwhelmed. Like, I don't know, I have my eyes closed because I do that when I worship, and I open my eyes and everyone's just right there in front of me, and I was like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I tell you what, you shared so powerfully. I was really moved. You shared so courageously because you went to some places that were very personal for you. And I think it was the authenticity of your story and testimony that touched every heart and caused everyone to respond. And what was one of the, because we had a testimony time then, what was one of the testimonies that really inspired you as well?
One that really stood out to me that I was not expecting at all, this young boy said, he's like, when my sister spoke, it changed my life. And I just sat there and cried because I was like, that's insane. That's amazing. Like, how good is God?
Amen. Because he said that I came in here one way, like not in a good way, but when my sister spoke, it changed my life. Praise God. Stretch your hands out to this sister of ours because I want to pray for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that, Lord, surely she has stepped into something new. And I feel that I hear the Holy Spirit saying, don't look now to the left nor to the right. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. And I also feel the Holy Spirit saying that as you continue to work out your next step and in obedience pursue it, you're going to find that there are not only some who will no longer walk with you. The Lord says, don't worry about that because I have plenty of people ahead of you who are going to come into alignment with you because of your obedience in Jesus Christ. Be strong and courageous. And I hear the Lord saying again, don't look to the left nor to the right. Don't look back because that's not where you're going. You're going forward in Jesus' name. I want to say thank you again for sharing. It was awesome. In the debrief meeting, everyone's saying, like it was Sam and Isaac were saying, Sam was like, sister, you should become a part of the team. And we're going to talk about that. We'll see how it goes. Whatever the Lord does. Praise God. Give her a great big hand. Thank you, Alyssa. Okay. We're going to get the house lights down, and I want to give you just 1 minute of just of some three testimonies real quick of what happened on Friday night. Take a look at this, because this is a testimony to my heart, my house.
I'm thankful for putting this day to come us together and say something really nice to So also thank you so much for bringing this like life group to me. Like right now I'll be at home chilling with Netflix. Yeah, I'll be at home doing nothing. I'm really, really happy that you put this life group. Like no one has to remind me that I have to come and just remember myself and bring myself. And I can be myself around here. I don't have to pretend to be someone I'm not. And I feel like really loved and really.
Place where I can be who I want to be and just bounce around and be happy and smile all the time that I've always wanted to do.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of thanks. My heart, my house. I thank God for the house that God builds. But I do understand that there are people who have not had good experiences growing up in your own house, your natural house. Perhaps there's not good memories. Perhaps there are not good feelings. And of course, you know, there are also some great, you know, feelings and memories and experiences. But, you know, being at Gateway Youth on Friday night reminded me that not everyone has a great experience growing up. Do you know that in our youth ministry alone, there are so many young people, so many teens, boys and girls who have been abused verbally, emotionally, physically, even sexually. And yet some of the testimonies that you've only heard, and there were many, just there were just young people who were saying, we're so thankful that you've created this space where they can come and feel good and feel loved and feel accepted. And so many, isn't it true? It's the kind of world that we live in these days. There are so many who don't have a mum or a dad. Or if they do have a mum or a dad or a brother or a sister, but particularly a parent, the parent is absent. And there's one particular girl who was abused growing up. And she had to relocate and she's living here with a family member. And she said to me again on Friday night, and I just got to say that the love that God has put in this, put in my heart for this girl, it overwhelms me. It overwhelms me when I see this girl. I just want to squeeze her face. And she can feel it. And she said to me, she said, I don't know what it is about you, but the very first time I met you, it's like, for some reason, she said, it's like you were my dad. And I've gone, oh, just come here. I just love you so much. You are flippin' amazing. You're incredible. Don't allow your present or your future, I said, to be defined by your past. Because God is your one true Heavenly Father. And it reminds me of the reason why God builds a spiritual house. And this is why we read in Psalm 68 verses 5 and 6. Because God is a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows. I don't know if you know Gateway Fam, but we have between 25 and 30 widows in our own congregation. Did you know that? So many who are looking for us to love and serve them. He is a defender of widows. God sets the lonely in a family. And he leads forth the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Strong words to finish off such a great verse. But God is saying that you got to be obedient to the call and be planted in the house of God. I thank God for the house that he builds. Can you imagine for a moment if everyone here at Gateway stopped giving into this house? Imagine for a moment everyone stopped giving of their time, of their talent, and of their treasure, their finances. And imagine what would have happened if we all made that decision collectively last week. Then we would not have been able to publicly welcome three brand new families to the house of God. Can you see why we've got to keep on giving into the house? Can you see why we've got to keep on giving of our time and of our talent and of our treasure? It's because of all of those who are not only here, but are coming. I said to Mark Waite just during the worship time, I just wanted to give him a kind of a manly hug. And he said, how are you feeling? And I said, bro, I just know that standing on the platform today just represents so much more than we can see. I declare that we are in a new season. I declare that things are never going to be the same. I declare that we are going to see more salvations, more water baptisms, more baptisms in the Holy Spirit, more mobilized life groups, and more people finding their purpose in the next 6 months to the glory of God. If you believe it, say amen. If you believe it, say amen. We got to keep on giving. I know that I'm standing on the platform right now. I am standing in the gap. Tim Hicks spoke about it, about being a bridge, being a gateway. That's our vision. Our vision is to be a gateway of God's kingdom on earth, transforming community and culture. I know that I stand on the platform today on behalf of those who are not yet born. You will see in the future that I will dedicate children. We will dedicate children, and it'll be a moment in the house of God. It took a lot to get that baby here. It took thousands of years to get that baby here through the generational line. So many coincidences, so many God incidences had to come together for that moment. I'm standing, we are standing, you are standing in the gap of those who are not yet born. You are standing in the gap of those who are right now thinking about taking their life. You are standing in the gap right now. We are here. We exist. You know, the church is the only organization in the world that exists for those outside of it. Boom. Let that sink in for, like, I'll go sila on that one. The church exists for those outside of it. Yes, it's for you to be blessed, but blessed to be a blessing. The church, I've got to say it again because it's not sinking in yet. The church is the only organization in the world that exists for those outside of its four walls, where we, in moments like this, are equipped, encouraged, and empowered to reach others. Our key passage today, which also forms Gateway Word of the Week, posted every Monday morning, is found in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Are you ready to get into it? This is our key passage today. My heart, my house. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And I want to ask you today, as we read that passage, what's your next step? Why do I ask that? Why do I ask that question? What's your next step? Well, it would be fair to say that there's not one person here loving the Lord your God, our God, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. There's not one person here doing it 100% of the time. That levels the playing field. But there's not one person here doing that 100% of the time. So what does that mean? It means that there's room to grow, room to move, room to work out your next step and move forward. I want to ask you today, what's your next step? Could it be that there are people here a little bit too comfortable? Could it be that there are people here a little bit, you know, just too much into themselves, their thoughts, their feelings, their needs, their wants, and not so much interested in the heart of God? And the more we get ourselves out of ourselves and into God's heart, the more effective we'll be. And so every single one of us can take one step in some way when it comes to loving God more. What do you think your next step is? You see, John the Baptist, he had all this worked out, and he declared that he must decrease, John the Baptist, so that he, God, might increase. It's a matter and an issue of the heart. So what's your next step? Well, today, what I feel to talk about, and again, I've got an exciting announcement at the end of my message today. Today, I want to talk about tithing, offerings, savings, and spendings from a biblical perspective. Now, the interesting thing about talking about tithes and offerings, savings, spendings, finances, money in the church is that it raises all kinds of feelings and thoughts, agendas. You see, what money does, it reveals the attitude of the heart. But you might recall, I said earlier in my message today, that we need to communicate the full gospel, the full counsel of God. And yeah, it is about salvation. It is the most important thing. Yeah, it is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and water baptism, but it's also about finances. And what God wants to begin to do with all of us is to give us a bigger picture of God and what God can do through our seed. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "But a generous person devises generous things, and by generosity they shall stand." Now, one of the ways that we can move from a consuming mindset to a generous mindset is to firstly pray about how to be generous. Now, the word devise or devises means to create, invent, plan, and fabricate, still not saying it right, fabricate, whatever, ways to be generous. This is why I love the word devise. It gives me the opportunity to get creative, to plan, to be inventive about what I can do to be a blessing. But if you don't pray about it, if you don't plan for it, how can you prepare for it? And so this is why we also read in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5, "And the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it." Should the house of God be glorious? Should it be a house of salvation? Should it be a place where people find renewed hope for the future? Should it be a place where the lonely find a family? Can I get a big amen? And of course it ought to be. But we must prepare for such a house, not just systematically, not just structurally around leadership and things like that, but also financially. And so when it comes to finances, here's the good news. God doesn't want you to give all your money away. Like people are breathing. Yeah. He doesn't want you to give all your money away, but he is asking for a portion of it. And this is clear in Scripture because we're all Christians, biblical, Christ-centered, faith-filled, Jesus-following Christians. And we believe the whole counsel of the Bible. And this is why I say, what's your next step when it comes to loving God more? He does ask for a portion of it when it comes to all that he gives to us, because he gives us a lot, you know. It's been said, "Naked into this world I came." Yes, well, that is true. We didn't come clothed, dressed. But no, what I was trying to say is we came into this world with nothing, and we will take nothing into the next world. So really, everything is on loan. Everything that you have, everything that I have, has an expiry date on it. But so God is asking for a portion of what he gives to us. Because all finances, here's a good reminder, all finances, all wealth, all increase, and all blessings come from God. Or perhaps, you know, perhaps on one hand you didn't know that, or number two, you've forgotten that it all comes from God. And we're just called to be a steward of what God has given us. I don't own anything, really. I can say that I own something now, but it won't be too long before I hand it on to someone else. So do I really own it? Not really. It's all on loan. We're just stewarding. And this is why we have a great opportunity to be a gateway of God's kingdom on earth, transforming community and culture. Check out what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. It says, "You may say to yourself," and perhaps someone here says to themselves, "my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant with you, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." It's a good reminder. Perhaps it says, you may say to yourself, that everything that I have is because of my intelligence. Well, who gave you that intelligence? Perhaps you might think it's because of my intuitive leadership style. Well, who gave you that intuitive leadership style when it comes to knowing where you've got to be and things like that? So, okay, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, we'll just cut to the chase. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse of God so that there will be enough food in my house. If you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test, says God. Wow, wee, woo, woo. Put me to the test. It's the only passage in the Bible where God says, hey, have a go. Test me and see if I will not do it. It says, bring all the tithe. A tithe, in case you don't know, according to Wikipedia, and so you know it's true, means one-tenth of all earnings or produce. The tithe is 10% according to its definition. And the tithe is God's trust test. Hands up if you believe that if you were to pass, or when we do pass from this earth, that we will go straight into eternity and live there with Christ forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. We believe that if we were to leave this earth, we go straight into the presence of God according to God's word. Well, I actually think it takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe God to give him 10% of my finances. Do you understand what I'm saying? So why do we struggle so much with finances? I think that finances and tithing is not just about us trusting God and testing God as he tells us to, but it's also God testing us to see if we will believe. Somebody once said, God, in all that I say and do, when it comes to my giving, this is what I really trust and believe about you. But perhaps we think that tithing is not for the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus uses some pretty strong words. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. It's really strong. You give a tenth of everything that you have, spices, blah, blah, blah. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, such as justice, mercy, faithfulness. You could go on, love, compassion, forgiveness. But Jesus goes on to say, you should have practiced the latter, or those great virtues, without neglecting the former. Without neglecting the tithe. He brings it together. Of course, he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the Old Testament, the law. I have not come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. So what I want to do right now, I actually want to give us an example when it comes to some biblical financial planning, okay? This is going to be so simple, so basic, but I am aware that this visual is going to stimulate, you know, our thinking and our faith and give us even like a plan as we prepare to not only bring our tithe into the storehouse of God, my heart, my house, but also to prepare you for your own savings and your own future, whatever God has for you. And so, you know, I just want to ask you, as we take a look at these illustrations, I just want to ask you, what category do you think you fall into? And so we have four containers here. One is entitled tithing. The other is entitled offerings. The third is entitled savings, and this is for those also listening online. And the fourth container, it's really a bucket, but we're not going to go there. And the fourth container is spendings. Hey, imagine when we have containers this big as we pass them around. Yeah, we'll probably need 20 of them. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so now I want you to imagine. Now I've got 10 tennis balls here. Okay, I've got 10 tennis balls here. I want you to imagine that these 10 represent your weekly wage. Let's say, for example, that each tennis ball is worth either $10 or $100, whatever you like. So it's payday. Thank God. Let's give him thanks right now for payday, another, you know, deposit in the account. And so according to Scripture, you've got to put first things first, okay? And sometimes people might ask, hey, what was the one thing that you did to become successful? Well, it's never about one thing. It's about a whole bunch of first things, okay? And you got to get in a good habit and a rhythm when it comes to putting first things first. And so we get our $1,000, you know, and so the first thing we do, we take the first of all our increase and we give it to God, to the house of God. Because we know that we're not just building for what's on earth, but we're building for an inheritance in eternity. Amen? We're not just depositing here, earning interest here. We're putting interest in eternity so that when we get there, we can see what we can harvest. Okay, the second thing is offerings. All right, this is, you could say, so tithing, 10%. You take another 10% and put that in your offerings account. What could offerings represent? They could represent so many things. It's like kind of spare change for a rainy day or for a good opportunity to bring about an offering. Perhaps you're taking someone out for a coffee or a lunch, and because you've been saving your offerings, you can say, I just feel in my heart to bless this person. And you say, hey, lunch is on me. Lunch is on me, because you've prepared and planned to one day give an offering. Offerings could have to do with our future church building. Remember that offerings are over and above the tithe, okay? It's not the tithe, it's above the tithe. Your offerings could also be, they could be a number of things. It could, you might want to bless someone here. You might hear of a need. They have a $50 car bill. I mean, as if it's going to be $50. But it could be some other need that you hear about, and you're saving your offerings. And there comes a time when God says the offerings that you've been saving are for this opportunity to give. And God puts it in your heart. You don't have to spend it weekly. You're just saving. Why? Because you want to devise a way to be generous. You might just want to bless someone because you think they're doing a good job here. You might just hear of a need and you just want to bless them because you've been saving your offerings. It's an opportunity to bless. And the blesser is blessed. And then, of course, we have, get another tennis ball, you have savings, another 10%. This could be to do for your holiday, or perhaps you're saving up for a new mobile phone or a TV, or it could be anything, a new car, a house, I don't know. But you put some savings away for your future. And of course, your spendings, they represent, you know, things like your rent, your mortgage, food, bills, fuel. So you take the other seven tennis balls, and you put them all in that container, and now you've got all your bills covered. Some other people, they do it differently. Let's just get on the screen there, just four different examples of models of how you can spend. You know, some people might tithe 10%, save an offering of five, savings of 5% also, and so their spending is greater, it's 80%. If you look at Model 4, some people are tithing 5%, even at times, if that. They're not giving any offerings, not saving, and most of their spending is 95%. The reality is there would be some people who are not tithing, they're not giving any offerings, they're not saving, and they're actually chewing up all of their seed. They're spending 100%. Of what's coming in. They're not actually good stewards of what God has given to us. And isn't it true, any farmer in the natural will tell you that if you just take all of your seed that you've worked so hard for and you're totally consuming the seed, there is no harvest for the future. There's no harvest for the future. And God wants us to be smart. He wants us to be wise, good stewards. And I believe there's not one single person who can't do this on some level. You know, from the person, for example, earning $100 a week to somebody earning $10,000 a week. Somebody says, hey, you know what? If I had more, I'd do more. I doubt it. I actually doubt it. No, it's true, Pastor. If I was earning as much as so-and-so and getting 10 grand a week, I would tithe. Would you really? I don't think so. Because if we can't be faithful in the little that God has given us, how can He trust us with giving us more? We've got to be faithful in the little, and as we're faithful in the little, not only is there a great blessing in that, a great blessing. I tell you what, one of the reasons why people don't always feel engaged in the local church is because they're constantly consuming, constantly coming to the table, eating, and not even wiping up after themselves, not even taking their plates to the sink. But the people who come to contribute, they are the ones who are blessed. And what God wants to do is break a poverty mindset. You know, I grew up with a bit of a poverty mindset. And I was told all my life, save your money, son, save your money. You never know when you're going to need it. Save your money, save your money, save your money. So I'm all about consuming. Then I got saved, come into, you know, this full-on encounter with a generous God. Because remember, when God sowed his son, he didn't have 10. There weren't 10. Wouldn't make sense. God gave 10 only begotten sons. Now, only means numero uno. There is only one. And he gave his only son for us. And as I come into contact more and more with this God who's so generous, and God began to break the wrong mindset and a spirit of poverty over my life. We're going over time. Let's enjoy. There was this one time when God was challenging me to give. And I'm struggling with it. And I was on the phone to my sister-in-law. And I wasn't planning on giving any money away when I was speaking to her. And she began to share with me how she had this car need. It just came up. And it's I think it was $150 or something like that. And the interesting thing is, on that particular day, I got like a bonus because of my sales. And the bonus that I got was $150. And so me being so intelligent and having God, you know, wanting to stir me up in my generosity, when I heard that the need was $150, and I only just got $150 that day, I saw that as an opportunity and an offering. And I said, almost like in a reluctant voice, because remember, I'm just stepping out in generosity here very early in my Christian walk. I said, you know what? It's really quite interesting that we're talking, because today I got a bonus of $150. And I really feel in my heart, God wants me to give it to you. And I was on the phone, and my wife, Trina, I was in our bedroom, and Trina was at the doorway listening to the conversation. And she's hearing me. She knows I've been struggling, and she hears me say what I just said. And so, and she's like, my sister-in-law's like, are you sure? You know, no. I said, no, I know that this is what God would want for you. So we hung up, and then my wife comes. I'm sitting on the bed, right? I'm sitting on the bed. I hung up. She comes up to me and says, honey, she gives me a big hug. I'm so proud of you. And I began to cry. And I began to cry because of the freedom that came and the blessing that came. Not only did I bless someone else, and not only were they inspired in their faith, but I was blessed. The blesser is blessed. And then I said jokingly to my wife, I said, I know why I'm crying. And she said, why? I said, because I just gave $150 away. And then we had a good laugh, and I cried some more. So we thank God for his plan. So, you know, I trust that this has given you some kind of visual of what you can do. And if you want to be blessed, the blesser is blessed. What I want to do right now, I don't want to spend a whole bunch more time on this, but I want to share with you a dream. I have a special announcement to make and about one of our next steps. And I want to begin this announcement by sharing a dream that I had back in 2005. At this particular time, we were having services in a council building. It was the Murrumbina Function Centre, which meant that we were, you know, setting up and packing up every Sunday, and did so for 6.5 years. I had a dream. It's not often that I have a dream, but when I do, I know when it's from God. So I had a dream, a prophetic dream. The dream had to do with, I had this like aerial view, like a ceiling view, looking down at myself on our own church platform. And I was preaching. And as I was preaching, we were in our own auditorium. We were in our own building, the house that God had provided and prepared for us. And as I'm preaching on the platform, I'm looking, it's still so vivid, I'm looking at tiered seating. We're in our own building. Tiered seating here, here, and over here. And the congregation in the tiered sections of the auditorium were full of black and white faces. Africans, Asians, Australians, everything beginning with A. And they were mixed. It wasn't like, you know, Africans over here in this section and mixed, just like the Collingwood Football Club, black and white. Yeah, baby, yeah. Trina's a Collingwood supporter now. And then there was a section on the floor. And what I want to do, I want to announce today that we are going to be receiving on the last two weekends of the month of June a future fund offering that is going to go into our own church facility. That's what I saw. Now listen, I got online and I'm looking. I'm typing in exactly what I saw and I'm pressing enter to try and find as something that closely resembled the dream as possible. That is what I saw. That's what I saw. And you know what, church? We're not doing this for us, although we are doing it for us. But we're also doing it so that we can create a space for opportunities for people like Alyssa Grundy, who came on Friday night and preached to the youth. I'm aware right now that I stand on this platform for the generations to come. I'm aware that I'm not going to see the total fulfillment of everything that God wants to do in this place. I'm aware of that. I'm not going to see everything. I'm going to see a lot. I am seeing a lot, and I am going to see a lot more. We're going to see a lot more. But we're not here forever. Loving and serving God is a temporary opportunity before we go into eternity. But as much as we have opportunity, we must be good stewards. We must set up the next generation. We must set up the house of God for Tim and Tegan Hicks's children. We must set it up for the Grundys. We must set it up for Greg and Kayla's children. We must set it up for every child who is upstairs today. We must set it up so that they don't have to fight or steward what we should have fought for and stewarded. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And so on the last two weekends, across our Saturday service and two Sunday services, we're going to receive a future fund offering. I want to give you another little bit of a plan because I want to begin to wind it up right now. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, there we go. There you go. There's the dates. Before we go to the next slide, I want to give you just a little bit of a picture. Hey, and keep in mind, when it comes to that building, it's like, hey, it's what I saw. It's what I saw. And so with integrity of heart, I'm sharing with you what I saw. Now, if, you know, for example, we step into the next phase of our building and it doesn't look exactly like that, you know, everything is progressive. I see a church where the vision and the mission are contagious and progressive. It's a progressive vision from strength to strength, from glory to glory. But I just wanted to put something out there once again to stimulate our thinking, just like I did with this. Okay, I want to give you a little bit of a way how we can prepare a great offering for those last two weekends. Let's go to the next slide. And so if you take a look at this, everything about our giving, it's not about equal giving. I can't give as much as some others, and I shouldn't give as little as some others should give also, but we can all give something. It's not about equal giving, but equal sacrifice. And so here, what I have put together, I've basically just randomly constructed a legend here of 193 people. And obviously by now you're taking a good look at that. But if we had, you can take a photo, yeah, that's cool. If we had two people, for example, who gave $10,000, that would equal 20. If we had six people who gave $3,000 each, that would equal 18, and so on, and so on, and so on. And if each person gave according to their capacity and their belief, that would total $135,500 received across those two weekends, including pledges. A pledge is a piece of paper that you place in the offering where you say, I commit to giving X amount over the next 6 months or year. That's what a pledge is. And so as we total everything, even though we can't, you know, calculate a pledge as cash because it's not yet arrived, we can say, hey, we've received an offering of X amount, including pledges. Now, $135,000 is a fair sum, but I believe you've got to shoot for the moon. And if you miss, you land amongst the stars. So we've got to aim high. But here's the thing. Just as some people are called to children's ministry, youth ministry, leadership, others are called to give financially. Have you ever thought about that? Are you one of those people? You know, there are some people, they're like, I just feel so called to kids' ministry. Well, how cool is that? But then there are some people, they could be a business person, they just could be someone sitting on an inheritance and you haven't been sure what to do with it. But in their heart, they're like, I don't know why, but I just feel called to fund the house of God for the generations. And it's in your heart to give, to leave a deposit, small or large. Let's stand in the presence of God. I just would invite the music team to come. You've been so patient and you've been so attentive. Thank you so much for leaning in today.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.